Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
You know how it's like the end of a Disney movie when, I don't know, like when all like the hyenas turn on the evil lion and just eat him. What's his name?
Scar
and just eat him up.
Again, not a what's his name.
What's his name? That's how I felt watching Utris fucking come for Bilal at this dinner and him just sitting there in his own urine just spinning and trying not to look bad on camera.
What's interesting though,
what I wanted
is, it's not that he's trying to. It's not that he's trying not to look bad. He doesn't know.
He doesn't
how
know
not to look bad.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
He's always going to show his ass.
Oh.
Because he can't not. What's interesting is she knows exactly how to push him to the limit of and to say, I feel like you're just being rude to me. Girl, you know exactly what you just did.
I need a hero. Her name is Utris. She's coming for you in New York.
I'm going to say something when we talk about this, though. I think some of those things, I think she had come too hard out of the gate for him. And so he immediately became defensive. It was a great way.
She didn't have subtlety.
No.
Didn't have subtlety.
It's not what I would have done.
Didn't do it like a mar.
No.
Didn't do it.
Yo, this is hay.
Or a mother poodle.
I don't think your family's subtle, though. You're certainly not.
That's fair. Yo, if you're watching Intimate Porn, you just saw my eyes go to the camera because he just gave me shade. Y'all, this is hay. Like Poodle said, this is hay. Season 7, episode 12.
Isn't she lovely?
Who's that about?
Isn't she wonderful?
Who's that?
Usman's new girl.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah. I saw her and I went, whoa.
I know.
I didn't expect that.
Y'all,
whoa,
that's
I was
where,
not prepared.
I guarantee you, the first time Kimbali saw this episode or met her, she went,
whoa.
Y'all, this is our part one of the whole episode.
I'm in trouble.
Woo! Okay. We're going to jump. I'm excited, but real quick, we want to remind people that, first of all, hopefully we can pull it together because we feel very fancy.
Hopefully.
We just had drinks at the Beverly Hills Hotel with our, I just want to, for our friend Emily Sussman, who hosts a wonderful podcast called She Pivots.
She Pivots.
And she's just started her second season. Woman interviewed.
Talking to women.
Vice presidents, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton was never a vice president.
But no, I mean, a big political figure.
Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton.
And we asked to be on the show, and Emily said, yeah, not this week.
So, also, we're not women.
Well, okay, that's true.
Labels.
Of power, labels. But we, anyway, we just love her. That's
She's introducing, she talks to interesting women who pivot
their lives. Not just vice presidents, but also women who are kind of more like us, who aren't so...
They're better than us. Every woman on the that she talked about interviewing is better than us.
They're better people than us. But I mean, like, they're normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all, so check out that podcast. Other podcast, Don't Tell My Mother with Nikki Levy, live show, y'all, this November 19th. I'm going to be doing it in Los Angeles. Dynasty Typewriter. Don't join in, poodle. Just leave me hanging.
I don't know what to say.
Just sitting there with a dick up your ass, just watching me.
I've already given all the feedback I can this. I
not anything.
Come see it.
Next time you have a special piano cat performance, a live stream, I won't help you promote that.
Okay. I will do my best.
Anyway, y'all, check that out. Dynasty Typewriter tickets are in our Linktree link.
We're on Kate Casey in December. We're special guests on her show December 3rd.
Yep.
Also on the Linktree. Y'all, listen to our Bi-Curious episode. We just put out the $5 tier on our Patreon. We did Easy Bake Battle.
Yep.
I had problems with the show, as you probably heard me talk about.
I enjoyed parts of it.
You also had issues, though.
I did, but I did enjoy parts of it. So... But I had a good time talking about it. We had a really good time.
It was a lot of me raging.
Yes. We did a lot this last week, y'all. Ryan Bailey, be sure to check out that episode. We did a collab with him. We did part one
with So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey.
We did part one on his show, part two on ours. And for Our Love is Blinders. Oh, I like that. For Our Love is Blinders,
I don't know. I have to sit with it.
No, we're doing it. For Our Love is Blinders, now I've said it three times, so now it's
Love is Blinders.
Now it's in your head. We did that with Mary Payne from Pink Shade.
It was
my favorite segment of that was Mary Payne Has Questions.
I didn't like the music that you continued to play.
But I enjoyed her questions.
Yes.
I liked the music, too.
No.
Anyway, that's
also,
it.
Also, y'all... YouTube, our normally YouTube live with our Patreon, we're not doing it in 2 weeks because that's going to be Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So the YouTube live is going to be next weekend, which is the
20th. It's going to be a weekend early. If you want to be on that YouTube.
The 20th.
If y'all want to be on that YouTube live, the way you get on that is that you subscribe to
$15 Patreon. We do a monthly YouTube live where we answer your questions.
Yeah.
We act often, like fools.
We often tell
We give you a little bit of gossip, a little tea.
Just the tip, but y'all usually get it before anyone else on the $15 tier.
You're under the skirt.
Someone's going to write a review and said, I joined the $15 tier, and all I found out is that Jake got gonorrhea again before the rest of the podcast.
Hey,
did.
You found out.
You found out.
You got... You found out I was burning before everybody.
Because you just kept itching your ass.
Yeah.
The show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oof.
We all know that burn, you know?
You know, the thing is, you just have to be... Everyone's going to get an STI or something occasionally.
Well, not everyone, but I think probably it's people that
it's widespread.
People that have slept with as many people as
you're gonna step on a landmine occasionally.
Yeah, it's true. Kaboom.
But I've become more smart. I've kind of got a sixth sense about it now.
Why?
I don't answer Grindr hookups at 2:30 anymore.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I need to know their at least their first names now.
Okay, yeah.
That does help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sex positive, y'all.
I think that's all on the announcements. Right?
That's all I had. Shall we?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Belida.
Belida?
Belida.
I've got Belidus. It's an inflection of the bladder.
It's either that or Shadal.
I prefer Belida.
I like Belida. Okay.
Y'all, we're going to NYC. What is it about you?
I was in NYC this week, but we're going to talk about that on part two of this.
Why?
Because I might have a special segment since I was in New York City. I'm going to surprise you.
We need to go over that.
No, it'll be good.
Any special segment, remember, needs to be approved by both people.
I'm just going to say, my name is Maddie, and I went and saw stuff on Broadway, and I walked around a lot of corners.
I'll see how this goes, but I will stop recording if I don't find it informative. The corners, you know, I'm gonna save comment. Supposed to be something that's informative.
You don't know what
it can't
talk
just
about.
Be a random story.
You don't know. No, it's informative.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, they are going to. It's so weird that I understand the tourist impulse to go to Times Square. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they dressed like they're going to Tavern on the Green?
It does. Yeah, it. They are.
I just don't. Did Bilal not tell Shida that Times Square is shit?
I mean, I will say people do dress up more in New York.
But this is but, Times Square.
But yeah, it's.
I will also go on record. There are maybe 5% of men in this world who look good in a double-breasted suit. Stop wearing them. They don't look good.
For the men who can... Is there water running out of your bathroom?
That's my shower's running, it sounds like. I don't
why
know
why. Is your shower running?
I don't know. Let's go to the
your shower
of the podcast.
Was off.
I don't know. It's the ghost in my apartment.
They just
Let's
did
get
it
back
again.
To a double-breasted suit.
I want to say for the men that can wear them. Because they look good. If you can wear, you've got to have wide shoulders and a thin, but when you, and kind of
it
a
makes
barrel
you
chest,
look chubby.
And but not if you got a thin waist and it just makes you want to, you just want to look at that double breast. You just want to rip it off and see what's under there and say,
I don't
ooh.
Think we're being clear.
I just,
so what when, makes someone be able to wear one?
Usually wide shoulders, thinner waist.
Yeah, I agree.
Like honestly, men who are built like a football player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This look good also, this is yellowish.
I'm turned on right now. What are we talking about? Yeah, the color's not good.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Bilal. Bilal doesn't look good in it.
Yeah.
Let me back that up. Not on you, Bilal.
That's what I'm saying. 5 to 10% of men. Y'all, this is...
Although I will say, all men who wear a double-breasted suit, almost all men who wear it are trying too hard.
I agree.
And Bilal's a try-hard.
Yeah. But I just think it's not an item that men can wear... That immediately looks good. You're
oh,
just
no,
no.
I look like a fat peach in a jacket.
I look like someone says, "Were you a stand-in for the Penguin?"
Yes.
Yeah. That's how bad it looks. Like I've been poured into it. It's not good.
Interesting. Funny you bring up the Penguin. The voice actor, it's not really enough to be a comic corner, and I've already got another thing coming up, so I don't want to take too much of people's time. But
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy, the voice actor for Batman, who was a gay man.
Yes.
Actually wrote a really great piece about, what was it called? About how doing the voice of Batman helped him come to terms with like sexuality and masculinity and all that. But anyway, he passed away of fucking fake cancer at the age of 66.
He was young.
Very young. So anyway, that was actually very impactful because for a lot of comic book nerds my age in the 40, or that are like 40 years old, late 30s, Batman the Animated Series is kind of what was...
Oh, I loved
like
it.
The Bible. It kind of drew us in. So, and that's what really, especially... honestly helped reinvigorate Batman into a serious property.
I agree.
Because Batman before was Adam West and all.
How
that.
Long was he, did he, was he the one?
Was, he did, he did the voice. It was him and Mark Hamill, who is Luke in Star Wars. He's the voice of the Joker.
And yes, so, I did know that.
So they've been.
And our friend was who? The voice of Nightwing.
Oh,
Lauren.
Lauren was Nightwing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just, that beautiful, beautiful man. So, golly, this month is taking all away my favorite gays. Literally, it's like him and Leslie Jordan, my two favorite gay people.
He's, Kevin Conroy is not your favorite gay person.
Followed him on everything. Yes. Love him.
And why don't we take
Bill Lamar
with
the Green Lantern.
Step back.
You know, I have my idols. You have yours.
You followed him on Instagram?
Yes.
Before he died?
Yes. It's Kevin fucking Conroy.
Okay. We need to move on.
Tried to see him at when I was at Comic-Con, and he didn't show up.
Because of the fake cancer?
This was years ago. That was the same year, too, where Phil Jimenez, I was running after him, and he said, I got to go. He draws a lot of wonder. You know what? I'm feeling bad about myself. We need to move on.
Just letting you get there.
I just kind of nerd out.
Y'all, we're seeing her friend, Utris.
You saw her before, like in a FaceTime talk.
Yes, FaceTime. Yep. She has, there's been no progress on the baby or the yoga front. She's a yoga instructor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you listen to our Love During Lockup, there's a whole segment we did about Louis wanting to be a yoga instructor.
Yogurt instructor. Y'all. If you're not watching Love After Lockup, Rutu. Love During Lockup.
Rutu. I think her name's Rutu.
Hey, big news though. Poodle found this out and didn't tell me, y'all. Marrying Millions is casting.
They're coming back. Marrying Millions.
Probably
God,
my
favorite
theme
back.
Song we sing.
Whoa. You know, we never do that one.
We did it once on a live
and
show.
And then the show went off
and
the air.
We're so, again, it's a Matt Sharp joint.
It is a Matt Sharp joint.
We don't know if, because we know, I think Naomi could be on.
Naomi?
No, not Naomi.
What the fuck are you talking about? Noni.
Noni. Sorry, thank you.
With
Noni.
Her new man.
With her new man who looks a lot like her old man. Someone has a time.
Younger, man. But I love her, though.
I love her. I just need Rodney to be on this.
And hopefully a new woman besides Desiree. No, yeah. I kind of want Desiree to be back.
I would love for not Desiree, but there to be a Misery. And just a woman named, now I'm dating Misery, but Desiree's coming back.
I'm going to say now, that's some of our best work.
It truly
some
is.
I think some of our best Patreon work are some Desiree and Rodney theater. Rodney and his mother.
I'm
Rodney
you,
and Dr. Jazz.
Y'all, I'm going to say this. The $8 tier is the tier that fucks you back. It's a good tier. It's a good tier. There's a lot on there.
You're going to fuck it. It's going to fuck you back.
It's going to fuck you back. You're going to get it all. Anyway.
I missed that show.
So Bilal, he's taking Shida to New York because he wants to remind her, or he wants to put maybe, like, again, he's just trying to distract her at this point from having a baby.
He explains what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to keep her. We're going to have a fun time. You know, the thing is, I need to get her to know that if we're going to have a baby, we won't have time for all these couples goals like traveling or doing things outside the home. He's basically, y'all, this is him. God, he's awful. This is him basically saying, this is what we could do, Shida.
Otherwise, if
we didn't have a baby.
But instead, we're going to have a baby and not have a life because that's what you want.
And unfortunately, Shida doesn't really get that it may not be the best time to say, Bilal, maybe we can leave here. We'll be pregnant by the time we leave here. And we can talk about the yoga studio. It's weird because what she doesn't get is you can see this example, this principle under George and Anfisa, vacation principle. If you're on vacation, you don't have to think about the hard subjects.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what Bilal is hoping for.
Yes.
Shida is violating that principle.
She is.
You don't fuck in Bilal's world, you don't fuck in the in the hotel and get pregnant.
Pregnant. That's true. You don't. Mm-mm. He believes you can't get knocked up in a Westin. That's what he believes.
I think.
Keep talking. I need lip balm.
She's also not the kind of. Because she's what, 37?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe it's possible for her to get pregnant. They have not yet. I don't think the way she is talking about pregnancy is extremely naive. We've went over this before. And she's obviously pretty sheltered.
Yes.
And the fact that I'm pretty certain she's, I guarantee you, what are you doing?
I'm just getting up and getting a blanket. It's chilly in here. Kind of chilly.
It's not.
It's just a little chilly.
Something's wrong with your circulation.
Well, no, I just wanted a little blanket.
I like it how we're doing a podcast. You just get up and do whatever you feel.
I'm just getting a blanket. Well, the intimate portrait, is it not
distracting at all?
No, you keep going like, if the intimate portrait people, y'all just get cozy with me. We'll just talk.
Yeah.
What? I was trying not to take attention away from it.
Too late. Anyway, I don't even know where I was. There was just a circus going over here.
I got cold.
The seal was going to different horn. Honk, 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 honk.
Just go ahead.
Basically, y'all, he's like, you haven't told her anything about me. He's like, only that I have a charming, sweet husband who sometimes gets on my nerves.
He's really the least funny person in the world.
He's a jokester.
Prankster.
You know, it'd be funny. We show up with the bus. Bing, bing. That's all you hear.
Boy, I think Utris is going to be
the
driving.
The bell tolls for thee, Bilal.
I think if you're driving the bus, I think Utris is going to be in the back, she's opening got, the back
she's
door
got an
for
invite.
To jump in.
She's got an invite.
She's going to be there, y'all.
So, Utris knows about the child thing, definitely. The next day, they're out doing Times Square, and she says, it smells like a posy. And I'm like, oh, a flower? She's like, no, that's where we store urine.
Yeah. Which, I was just there. It does smell like urine. By the way, did they play Frank Sinatra during this?
This
actually sounded like Frank Sinatra.
No, it's not. It's the same guy who's
that
like...
The other guy?
It's like, only in New York.
He was good.
There's the buildings, the downtown. Everything you like is in New York. Say hi to the pizza man. Hi there, pizza guy. Lots of different people in New York. You can do anything. The town is yours, so get it. In New York, oh, get it. Don't get pregnant in New York. No babies. No, this is the same guy who does all the Debbie stuff.
He's good.
This
one, I thought this one sounded better, though. It sounded like Frank Sinatra.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
It's not Frank Sinatra.
Well, okay.
It's a pale imitation.
Well, Michael
Francis Albert Sinatra.
How dare you say that to Michael Bublé's mother? Because she is very proud. She is well known in Rochester
Michael
as the
Bublé.
Woman, as her son who, we have the same lip balm.
Oh, really?
The mint one?
Yeah, I don't like to carry the orb. It bothers my testicles.
It looks like you have three nuts.
No, it bothers me. I don't like the way it feels in my pocket.
You know, I like an orb. We're talking about the lip brand Eos. They're not a sponsor. I like the orb in a bag because it doesn't get lost in the bag. But I like the thin one in my pocket. Who gives a shit?
No one gives a fuck about this. You brought it up.
No one
gives a shit about this.
I just hit myself in the face with the mic. Let's talk about Utris.
I just want to say one thing that he said. I cannot believe she said this, or he said this. You want to have fun here, Shida? Or do you want to bring baggage with you, like a child, which is just baggage?
High five, Shida. God.
And, it's just awful.
So let's talk about the dinner. So they go to dinner, they see Utris, and they sit down, and... as Utris said before the dinner, in the moment, she said, you know, Shida's coming from an innocent place, and I hope that I hope he understands what she needs.
When he sits down, and she even says, Shida's like, so what do you think about my husband? And the first clue that this wasn't going to go really well is Utris says, I don't know, it's a little too early.
It's a little early.
Now, I think this can be taken two ways. This can be playful, like new husband who's never met the best friend, trying to playfully do this. And so I think that's what Utris thought it was going to be.
I think at first she seemed to be and didn't realize it was Bilal.
And he kind of just went, he kind of looked, he's like, well, why are you going to say that? Again, the least joking person you'd ever meet takes everything hyper serious.
But he's a jokester.
Yeah. And so Bilal's like, he says something about, let's talk, I'd like to talk to you.
Because she even said, she's like, considering you married her without letting me meet you first, like, I took that as more as the way Aunt Peggy said, well, I hope I like you. I didn't meet you before you got hitched. And you kind of, well, there's a little truth in there, but.
Yeah. But also, this is someone, you're talking to your wife's people.
But she said that, and Bilal looked at her and said, well, that's an interesting comment.
Yeah.
How dare you attack the king? Well, you know he's the king and
then
she's the
queen.
Then
he says, a relationship is between two individuals. Like she's a moron. And that's when she kind of went, so this is how you're going to play this.
She's like, you know, it's interesting too because she said to him, when she said, I would like to have a one-on-one, how do you feel about that? Bilal's, yeah. What Bilal does, he does this all the time to Shida, is he says, well, how do you feel about that? So he asked the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Shida digs herself into a hole because when he does it to her, she tries to answer the question.
Yeah.
Utris was having none of it.
Yeah.
She said, because he said, how do you feel about that? And she said, well, how do you feel about me asking the question? And Bilal goes,
he kind of met his match,
and
y'all.
I went,
and normally, you're
I knocked off my lip balm orb.
Normally, I would have a problem with people being this much prying, but the fact that he can't even take any fun in this.
No.
And it makes her want to keep pushing.
Yes, because he goes, she said, how do you feel about me? Ask a question. He goes, well, and she said, why are you hesitating? I mean, she is just going after
and he
after.
Says, you're looking tense. And he's like, then he said, and now this is a direct threat to her. He's like, trust me, you haven't seen me tense. Which I go, oh, my Lifetime movie Scary Husband vibes just went up.
Jesus.
Oh, that was when I see a man tell someone, yeah. And anyone goes, makes who does an overreaction. But like Bilal, everything is kept to a low simmer, so it's even scarier when he says it that way. And he's like, this is comical for me. You're kind of like, what's the word in English? What do we say? Nosy. And she's like, oh. I'm nosy. And Shida's like, anyone want crackers? Anyone, somebody eat the crackers.
Eat your crackers. And she said, so you think I'm snotty? And Bilal says, Your words.
I'm a very confident person.
And Yutra says, now that I'm meeting him and the way he's reacted to me, she's like, I'm worried. She actually says, I'm worried she's overlooking, she says, quote, some type of personality he has. And I wrote, yes, she actually is seeing what we're seeing. This man has a personality disorder.
It's a personality disorder.
Yes.
It's disturbing.
We've disturbing.
We've seen it since last season.
Over and over.
He's a scary fucking person.
We all see it. And that.
And
that is when Shida went, crackers.
And Shida says, I just wanted you two to mesh. And then Utris is like, you know, he's very defensive, Shida. I don't know what to do about this. And then Bilal then lapses into his thing that is so gross. The worst thing is, I don't think he knows, Shida, everything that I've done for you. And Utris is like, oh no, girl, we did not. Tongue pop.
No, you did not.
And then she says, do you think that's what it is all about? What you have done for her? And then, y'all, she's starting to get emotional. She's like, I need to compose myself.
Well, she said to him, she said, not about, she also, what she very, y'all, Utris is fucking smart. And I think she's either used to, or wherever she is in her life, she is used to dealing with men that feel like women should be thankful for what they're given.
Yeah.
Because she said to him, she said, so are you saying she should be thankful because no one else would have done this for her?
Ooh.
Which is what is implied in that is saying, what's so fucking special about you?
Yeah.
Which hits him at his core because he thinks he's the most special. He thinks he is unique. He's the special king.
I think if this could have gone so differently with a different man in this.
Oh, yeah.
I think we would have seen Utrus as being the nudge here. We would have seen Utrus as being the one who was prying if she
and
kept
out of place.
Going. Yes.
Out of place. Yes.
But when you put Bilal there and you put her being put off by the fact he couldn't think that this was a normal night, a fiance, nosy friend, which happens all the time. That's the trope of this show.
Yeah.
Bilal could not handle it.
No.
He was so overly sensitive.
And there's going to be more of her, y'all. We actually found out on our Love is Blind with Mary, y'all, this is going till the end of February, happily ever after.
Not end of February. End of January.
Oh, she said end of January. Okay, good.
No, not February. I jump off my roof.
But still, though, so we're in episode 12, y'all. We're little over half. Well, there's going to be a lot more episodes and ground to cover.
Some people just slam their fingers at the door.
But I think we're going to have a lot more uterus.
I hope so.
I think definitely going to be on the tell-all.
I think what'll happen is
she lives in London, right?
Yeah. I really don't think we're going to have shows on the... I know we won't have it on Christmas, and I don't think we'll have it on New Year's Day.
So you think they're going to take 2 years off, 2 weeks off?
What is wrong? You had two drinks at lunch, and you're...
What? I always say the wrong words. What's new? Where have you been? Are you brand new?
Are you new?
Are you new? So Shida's like, I want to go ahead and order. Utrus has lost her appetite. And she said, again, she said, he just seems very entitled. It's not like you've given her your last kidney. And she said, this is very serious. She's right, y'all.
Yeah, I don't think anything will change.
Oh, no. Shida is in this for the yogurt and the long haul. Settle in, y'all.
That's all I've got. Is it Lib and Andre time?
Yes, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get. and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
I want to be a cowboy.
Ooh, give me that.
And you can be my cowgirl.
The thing about it is, he can look like, he can dress up like a cowboy.
Hold on, let me just...
Let me take a moment for that. Assless chaps, right?
Just yeah.
Complete. Okay. Ooh. All right.
He'd never be able to pull off he'd be so angry when he got on the horse and just let off a string of curse words.
Oh, yeah. I run away and he throws that rope and he tosses it around my neck and he says, come, you horsey. And I just fall on my little rump. And,
they don't do that to horses.
What are we talking about?
Horses.
Okay.
You rope cattle.
Baby calf, horse, whatever piece of meat you want me to be, Andre, I'm there.
It's Liv and Andre, and we're on an alpaca farm.
Yeah, on an alpaca. I've never done role play with a cowboy. Have you?
Anyway, we're on an alpaca farm. Yeah, my repertoire is vast and wide. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they called me in college. Vast and wide.
Sir Poodle Olivier. There goes vast and wide, boys.
Never met a scenario I didn't love. So, we're on an alpaca farm, and yet another way to get us into something where this is good for kids, actually. So I'm glad they're doing something that Ellie would like.
It's true.
And we still haven't heard from anyone in her family. I believe this is the next day after the announcement.
Yep.
And it's I think that's really shocking. That the sisters, did not call her immediately.
If I found out that my sibling was having a baby on Instagram, I would not call them out. I'd be pissed.
So when would you need to bring it up next time?
What I probably would do is I would see it on Instagram and I would just say, respond. I would just probably go, congrats, heart emoji, baby face emoji. And then I wouldn't call them.
Oh, but they didn't even comment.
No, that's where they're wrong. I know they would have. I would have commented so they knew that I saw it, and I would have just put a bland, generic comment.
Well, honestly, I think that's the normal thing people would do if
a
that
family
happened.
Member.
Yeah.
So you think about this. So
no, I'm saying that would be if that had been me, and
if
I
your brother
hear about
and sister in law were having another baby, and you just commented on Instagram.
It's baby number four if they had another one. Honestly, that would be easier for everyone.
I don't think. What would your mother say if you didn't call them?
Well, she'd be upset, but I would call them, and they'd probably tell me over the phone. They'd probably call me.
Because that's what... I'm not saying Libby owes them a call.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with a lot of sissies who are like, fuck her sisters. They're terrible.
Yeah.
They did say...
That's where I am.
They did say, ha ha, it'd be so funny if your husband sent back to his home country.
Yeah.
So I don't blame her for that.
It's pretty fucking callous.
But but I don't think her sister... I'm just saying, I'm not defending the sisters, but I'm saying, of course they wouldn't call her.
Yeah, I get that. And Chuck is of course concerned about the sisters and mom not being there.
We do find out.
I need to get these issues resolved.
Resolved.
I almost died of cancer on a bed. The Lord didn't spare my life to see my family like this. And I'm thinking, the fact that you woke up and your family was still like this must have been quite disappointing.
Yeah. I would woke up and be like, can you just put me out again?
Right.
Just take. I will say that. To me, the saddest part about this entire episode is we get confirmation because Chuck asked Libby, how's your singing career? And she's like, well, I'm going to put that on hold.
Yet another storyline killed by a baby.
So
they ruin everything.
So now we're just back to the family Libby.
Yep. I'm calling it now. The gender reveal, you know how much we love those, is going to be the end of the season.
I really think that they could get a spinoff.
I can't believe we haven't had one yet, but I think people are tired of them.
Yeah, we're not covering y'all, but let us know if there's any good moments from David and Annie. That's on the Discovery Plus. But we don't cover it. That just started.
Why let us know if there's any good moments?
Well, I don't know if Annie if Annie makes out with a chick or something like that. I don't know. We like Annie.
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
But did you want to take time to watch it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
They can
I'm not going to watch it regardless.
They can report for us. Yeah, I'm just telling people that we're not going to cover that show. Except for people asking.
Oh, so that's the nice way of saying.
Nice way of saying we're not doing it.
Why don't you just say we're not doing it?
Sissy messaged me and asked. She's like, are you going to cover it? I'm like, no, we don't have to do that. But if there's any good parts, let us know.
What do people think we do? I'm curious.
Some people think we do a lot, and some people don't realize that you and I have to stop and eat.
Or
not that we're the busiest people in the world. We're not.
No. But like, there's a limit. It's a quality of life issue. We can't do every show.
It's true.
Do you think we just get put back on the shelf after we finish a podcast? Mm-hmm.
We watch the podcast, then we go back on a shelf. We just sit there till you wind us up again.
I've got a life. I've got men to defile.
I don't know if it's a life, but definitely men to defile. That's good.
It's probably not a life.
It's not a life. It's living.
It is a living. Been living this way for a while.
So Chuck is like, I'm tired. Let's get back together. And he said, so what I'm willing to do is pay for a session of family therapy for the family. And I went, wait a minute, for this family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think that's the deal? A lot of people think they're going to go to family therapy or couples therapy, and they think the therapist is, you probably got this with coaching, but also a lot with like voice teaching. People think they're going to come to you, and after 10 years of dysfunction,
ding, ding, ding,
that you're
ding,
just going to say,
I'm
you
fixed.
Just need to put this dick in your butt and it'll all be happy. And then they'll walk out and sing beautifully,
yeah,
or walk out and have no problems. That's not the way it works.
And I can't do it. You do it.
You solve your problems.
I helped you facilitate.
And we help them find their own answers.
Yeah.
Their own, and work that out. I don't think anybody in the family, Libby, really wants to do that.
No, and you said it. This just tells you the way Chuck thinks about things, and it's not uncommon. If I pay for a family therapy session, in other words, since I'm paying for it, will someone, because my money is going to help solve this. Because that's always the way it's been. What's happening here, I think his intentions are good. I'm there for it because it's going to be a fucking clusterfuck. There's already pictures of them holding a Nerf ball. The talking ball. And I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Literally, Charlie's just screaming, and there's just white powder under his nose.
And
so coked out.
And Libby agrees to do one session, and Chuck's like, hopefully everyone can put their decisions aside. Yeah, or they're
you make him sound like the guy from King of the Hill.
He kind of does sound like that. Y'all, later on, Libby, the dads are watching Ellie, and they're roasting marshmallows and having a mommy daddy date night.
Can I be cowboy?
And they're like, we should do a baby moon next. And Andre's like, what is this baby moon? What is this, like, push present? Everything talked about.
In America, you get present for everything. You a baby, you push. In Moldova, you push, you die, that's life.
She's like, I'm still waiting for my push present for the last one. I'm like, I don't know if retroactive push presents are a thing.
It's a big
you
deal.
You already pushed for the baby. The baby is here. I don't know.
No, that's a big deal. We didn't have, that's a new thing. Push present, I think, is new within like the last maybe 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, sounds right.
Did your sister-in-law get a push present?
You know, I think she got one for the first one. She basically bought her own.
As she should.
Which I think that's a better idea.
Yeah.
It's then it feels a little less weird for the guy saying, hey, thanks for pushing out my baby.
I think the
woman just take as much money as you want and go buy yourself something.
Be rewarded or treat yourself for doing a really hard thing and let's acknowledge that. Great. But it does feel weird of a guy going, hey, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something weird about it.
I agree. It's icky to me. And I just think let the woman just buy herself something special. Say, and the thing is, so many people have, so many, especially women, have a hard time doing that. And true. So maybe that's why a lot of times I think when the women, men do give that, it's like it's linked in their love for them, which is a neat, even more complicated issue.
Well, but you once told me. Never mind. I can't make the joke. It's too gross. I started to make a joke.
You can't. I'm not. You need to say it. Maybe I'm going to regret this.
You once, after you went to the bathroom after taking all the football players' loads, you got a push present.
I am sorry I made you say that now. I hope we just pulled up to Chick-fil-A. And Bobby just gave you your large sweet tea. And you saw the light in his eyes just diminish. The spirit of the Lord just left Bobby's eyes.
His eyes when he just heard, turned red because Satan was raring.
When he heard about pushing out loads. Because he'd never heard talk like that before.
I told you I want to say it,
and
you
then,
made me.
Then he became, he was changed that day.
Oh, little Bobby was changed.
Well, that's better. It's for the better. So, no one's reached out. And Andre's like, I can tell she's sad that her sisters haven't reached out. They're just haters.
Haters.
And he does.
They're jealous.
He does say, she brings up the therapy session, and he's like, I don't care about any of these people. In my country, we say things directly. We know.
We got that. I go back and forth, because I want to say, you should care about it, because it's her family, and it's important. But then I feel like, but after this many years, and this much just terrorizing from this family,
and when has,
I feel like that's valid.
When has he gotten any
Support
from
love,
them. Yeah,
hell, kindness.
Also, they're always coming for him.
So
yeah,
I was gonna say, like a part of said, well, but it's your family. But after a while, y'all, you're like, no matter if somebody's your blood,
and now she
toxic
even,
is toxic.
Now hurt. Now even Libby gets it.
It is interesting. They feel like Andre has convinced her. It's not. It's her family that is convincing them of how horrible they're always, how they're never going
to
change.
Right. And then he does agree to go, and he says, hopefully the doctors just tell them their issues.
We'll see, like, they have issues.
So he's just going to say, he thinks the therapist will go, so you're not the problem, Andre and Libby,
which is,
you're the problem.
And a lot, because Libby says, I think you should go with a different mindset, but that's what a lot of people think, especially in couples. They're like, let me come to you.
So
and
they're
going to say,
gonna
my
say.
Husband's a problem.
Y'all, that's never how it works.
No. No.
Unless you're George and Anfisa.
Jorge is the problem. Jorge is the problem.
Let's talk about Jenny and Submit.
You've got a box that just says, squawk!
I just spilled water on myself. Mother Pill would say, you got a hole in your mouth? I'm like, you won't believe what's been in this mouth.
No, surprising. No, she's got a hole somewhere else.
So,
and it doesn't lose a drop.
Wow. Not wrong, but.
I am reading you today.
It's filthy. So Jenny fell off a chair, y'all.
It's funny because she's okay.
She's fine.
She's fine. She kind of hurt her arm a little bit.
My favorite is when the woman at the physiotherapy, like, I assume that's physical therapy. They were calling it physiotherapy.
Yeah.
Is saying, your muscles are quite weak.
Quite weak. I know. You say my arms are just feathers. Light bones.
And Submit, in his very non-emotional very not cruel, but just saying how things are, goes, Jenny is older and fragile.
And fragile.
I worry about her health.
But she's like that lamp from that Christmas movie I watch every year.
And we also find out that Sumit is scared of needles.
Well, Sumit says too after, he's like, she's old and fragile. I haven't yet told her about me wanting to have a child.
Oh, that's right!
Don't forget that, y'all. That's the undercurrent. Yes, of course fucking Sumit is really scared of needles. You know, my sister-in-law.
A lot of men are.
She says more men are than women. I don't know if that's the truth, yeah. But.
No, I believe it. And it looks like they were doing acupuncture on her.
Yeah, it looked like they were doing acupuncture.
And Sumit says, every time you put a needle in, it feels like I'm getting stabbed.
And I went, if that's not a metaphor for your fucking relationship.
And then Jenny said, maybe I can take some needles home. We'll pound them in your ass. And I went, what?
What?
Boy, Jenny
learned. How do you like that Karma Sutra?
Jenny's learned something from the Karma Sutra book.
Yeah.
Well, pound them in your ass.
Well, freaking dicky, like, I'll put an egg in my butt.
The phrase, I'll pound them in your ass. I just went, what?
Pound him in your ass.
Can't break that.
I think Smith definitely loves a little bit of a pinky. I wouldn't be surprised if she has not anything huge, but I think she's got like a little micro penis that she pegs him with.
Really?
Yeah.
No, she's not that kinky.
No, I think she goes, oh, Smith, I don't want to do it. I want to do it. He goes, yes, Jenny. Please do it for Michael. Do it for Michael. That's his sex
name. Oh, Michael
name.
Jones.
Yeah, that's what she calls him in the bedroom.
Yuck. I'm disgusted.
Where am I going
and,
this episode?
And Jenny's like, there's a reason. This is the reason you need to be here, but you can't be working 7 days a week. And she then goes,
accidents are going to happen. Oh. I'm a chicken.
Quite frail.
Clumsy chicken.
Later on, Christina and Jen, her daughter and the daughter's wife, are coming. And Jenny's got a sling on with her wounded wing.
It's just sad that Jenny said before they come, Jenny said, I'm so excited my daughter's coming. Think about it, y'all. She finally just got married, supposed to be living her dream. And she says, quote, I just need some happiness and joy in my life. And I went,
I think.
Yeah, this might not be good.
I don't think Jenny, because she said she was really happy in Rishikesh when they were on their honeymoon.
She did.
I don't think Jenny, kind of like she doesn't have temporal ability. Like she doesn't understand time like chickens or dogs. So I think you know how your dog doesn't realize you've been away for 8 hours?
Yeah.
Or when you've been away for 10 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jenny doesn't understand how long she's been without happiness.
She does not. She's like, it's been 2 weeks of it. Jenny, it's been in 5 minutes.
No. It's either. So they show up.
They hug. They like freak out and cry.
And Sumit and Jen are just standing there like, okay.
Christina says, look, I just want to support my mom. I just want my mom to be happy. She's like, and I want her to be loved and feel loved.
This is nice that they're talking about the family situation and Sumit's family not accepting them.
Yes, because Christina sits down and says, "Well, how are things?" And Denny goes, "Buck, buck, 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 the same." Because nothing's changed.
No.
Nothing has changed.
Well, the only thing that's changed is that they are officially married now. And actually, it's worse now because
I would yes. Because
then
now that's true.
Now it's the problem is now that everything it's on the surface. Sumit would have much rather it been like this forever because then he can keep putting off telling his parents that he's going to get married, and then one day Jenny would tragically die.
Yeah.
And then he could find a younger woman.
This is true.
That was Sumit's plan. I guarantee you that was Sumit's plan.
You know, except for I don't know if he would want to find a younger woman. I could see him finding another older woman.
Interesting. But he does want children.
I know.
But only just to pacify his parents.
But just pacify his parents. So I think
but
if Jenny,
that means a lot to him.
I think if Jenny died, he would just date around again and be, quote, in mourning, get back in with his parents, and then find another older woman. I don't think he really wants kids.
I would agree with you, but his parents aren't going to acknowledge a marriage that doesn't have children.
I think he'll stretch out singleness again for a long time that he's looking
We're
for
already one. Calling Jenny dead.
That's not right. You're right.
But no, I really do think that was what he saw happening.
Well, chickens don't live very long.
So basically, Jen says, or Christina says, you need to back her up. You need to back my mom up when this happens to, and he's like, you don't understand. It is in the moment. He's like, Jen, Christina doesn't understand what it's like being in India. The parents are very, very close. They're a part of our lives.
You said that nicer. He said that very dismissively.
I agree.
He said that instant because she tried to bring, like, she said, you know, what would it be? She said, you know, you should feel accepted. And she kind of made the parallel of being queer. And she said, but you should say, if you don't accept my wife, then you don't accept
can
me.
Can accept me.
Christina's right, I think, at this point. At this point, I think she's right. And that's where Sumit says, yeah. He said it, and he's like, you know what? She doesn't know. She needs to stay out of it.
This is, I say all the time, that there is, that so-and-so isn't a zero-sum game. This is a zero-sum game.
Yeah, I agree.
It is stay with Jenny and be away from your parents, and have them hate you and despise you and have people mock them and do whatever you want, forego that part of your life. Or I don't think Mama Sumit is coming through this. I just can't imagine.
She's not. It's not
and or tell Jenny that or basically lead a double life that Sumit can he can say Jenny not really mention Jenny at all and never he can come around the house and be kind of a peripheral member of his family. So that way, but he's never really where he is, but at least he's around his parents. I can see the magical ways he's trying to make it work, but it's never going to be enough for him.
That he always is always
needs to have mommy's titty
magic
in his mouth. Mama, mama.
With that,
that's all I have.
We're sorry
you
can't
go
to
that slurping.
We're sorry you can't go to Chick-fil-A again, y'all, but you didn't need to go anyway.
And Bobby is different after today. He's Googling loads.
He's like, wait
taken.
A minute. Do I want that? Do I need that?
You do, Bobby.
You do, Bobby.
You do.
Bobby. Ba 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 Bobby.
Bobby, baby, Bobby, booby, Bobby, Bobby. Bobby, I've got a load for you right
now. No, stop it.
Bobby, I've got something just for you.
That's the show, everybody. You can go to realitygames.com.
All of your gay friends.
No, you can go to realitygames.com, everybody. You can go to our Instagram. Find us on other shit. We don't care. Leave us a
We'll
Apple
love post. You.
I'm so sorry.
Bobby, baby, Bobby, Bobby. Come on over to the orgy.
And if your name is Bobby, you can call us.
You can call us, Bobby.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.